Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I want to welcome you to this wonderful Bible study. It's wonderful because of the Word of God. It's wonderful because we have the Holy Spirit as our guide and teacher. It's wonderful because we're talking about life, the Christian life, Christian leadership. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we draw near to your table because, once again, we're here to talk about serious matters. We're here to talk about half-baked church leaders. Help us, O God. Those of us who are leaders in your church, may we be baked on both sides. May we be fully developed by you, Lord. May we not be raw. Something that is raw is unedible, uneatable. Something that will not sit well in our digestive system. It would even cause us at times to regurgitate what we have eaten. May we never make the church sick by means of our leadership. Let us not be like Ephraim in the end. We want to be like Ephraim in the beginning who was elected. We want to be like Ephraim in the beginning who was blessed. We want to be like Ephraim whom God multiplied and made into a large and mighty tribe. But we don't want to be like Ephraim in the end, who mixed with the world and in the end could not be used of God. Help us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We talked yesterday about Jacob the patriarch. A patriarch is a family pastor. And as the family pastor, Jacob was a man of two characters, if you will. A man who desired the things of God, but a man who went about getting the things of God through carnal means. This always put Jacob in harm's way. First of all, what's your name, sir? Well, my name is Supplanter. My name is Jacob. My name is Mr. No Good. That already put people on notice. His name alone put people on notice. But then he was the fulfillment of his name. You know, some people have the name Supplanter or Thief and never steal. Well, Jacob was true to his name. Jacob was true to his moniker. So because he stole his brother's birthright and deceived his father into giving him his brother's birthright, Esau wanted to kill his brother Jacob. So Jacob was on the run. While on the run, he meets God in Genesis 28 at a place called Luz, which later Jacob renames as Bethel, the house of God, because there God met him and made him certain promises. While on the run, he winds up at his uncle Laban's house, who's more of a crook than he is. He gets swindled by his uncle. He makes a bad deal, and yet God preserves him and God protects him because God's elective hand is on Jacob. And yet he has to flee Laban's house because, again, Jacob is up to no good. And fleeing from his uncle's house and going back to his father's house, he encounters, or he thinks he's going to encounter, his brother, who is still angry after 20 years, is still fit to be tied because his brother stole his birthright. So he's fleeing from his uncle, but he's running into his brother's hands. And again, he tries to con his brother by sending him a wave of gifts. Before meeting his brother, he meets God in prayer. Jacob prays all night and wrestles with the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ before he took on flesh. And in wrestling with the Lord changes his name from Jacob to Israel. He says, from this day forward, because you've repented, because you have turned to God in prayer, you shall remain transformed. You shall no longer be called Jacob but Israel. But just a few chapters later, he's back at it again. He's up to no good again. Jacob is up to no good. And then God has to reach out to him in Genesis 35 and call him by his old name, Jacob, even though he promised only to call him by Israel. And here we see the struggle that Jacob has in completely giving himself over to God, that God might fully develop him. Throughout all this time, he put his life at risk. He put the lives of his wives at risk, the lives of his children at risk. And in the end, Jacob ultimately becomes the Israel that God wants him to be. Today, we're talking about another man. This one did not end as well as Jacob. Another leader who was half-baked, whom God tried to bake completely, and yet, in the end, refused God, did not yield to God, and as a result, ended up half-baked, of no good to God. This person's name is King Saul. So we pick up his story in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And here the prophet Samuel was told by God that he was to acquiesce to the desires of the people, which was they wanted a king like the other nations. So God said, let's just give them a king. Let's just give the people what they want. And so in chapter 10, verse 1, then Samuel the prophet took the horn of oil or the vessel of oil and poured it upon his head being Saul's head, and he kissed Saul and said, is it not because the Lord have anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And when thou art departed from me this day, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the donkeys which you went out to seek are found, and lo, thy father have left the care of the donkeys and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? That's the first sign. The prophet Samuel is saying, listen, you're anointed as king, but I want to give you certain signs to know that this anointing and this choosing of you is a validation. God has given me a series of pictures of things that will happen to you throughout the day. These will all be signs that this is legit and this is of God. Verse 3. Then you shall go from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there thou shalt meet three men going up to God, to Bethel, one carrying three kids and another carrying three loaves of bread and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, and thou shalt receive of their hands, that thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou wilt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come hither to the city that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the hill place with the psaltery and the tabret and the pipe and the harp and then before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Notice, the whole purpose of the Spirit of God coming upon you is that God will turn you into another man, a man that you are not right now. This is the beginning of the baking process, if you will. Verse 8, and thou shalt go before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offering. 7 days thou shalt tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he turned his back to go from Samuel, here is the second thing, God gave him another heart. So notice, God gave him a new heart, a heart turned towards God, towards the things of God. And then later on in the day, God would give him the Spirit and he would prophesy and turn him into another man. God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. And when they were come to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied among them. He prophesied among them. Verse 11. And it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? Notice, God starts the process with Saul. Saul is just a regular young man. He is chosen of God to be king of Israel. The prophet Samuel anoints him with oil. God gives him a new heart. And then the prophet Samuel predicts that during the day he will come across a company of prophets and the Spirit of God that is upon them to prophesy and to play the musical instruments shall also come upon him, and he too shall prophesy, and that's his initiation into the ministry. Well, let's go to chapter 13. A few years after, he is anointed, favored of God, given a new heart, given the Spirit of the Lord. And in chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. You blew it, Saul. You blew it. You became worldly. You thought that you can operate like the king of Philistia, like the king of Moab, like the king of Edom, like the king of Ammon, like the king of Syria. You thought that you can act independently of God. You blew it. In Israel, yes, you are king, but above you there is a king of kings. And since you have not obeyed his commandment, he who would have established your kingdom forever will now not do that. Verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. It shall come to an end. Your reign shall come to an end. The Lord hath sought him another man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be the captain of his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So already he's being shown the door. He's being shown the door. Why? Because, again, like many leaders today who God calls into the ministry, they wind up doing their own thing. They don't wind up doing what God would have them to do. Therefore, he dispenses of them. He shows them the door. He gives them the pink slip. He says goodbye. He kicks them out of the ministry because it's his church. In chapter 15, let's go to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, here is the final rebuke. We can start reading at verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. I have a sermon based on this text that I haven't preached yet. I'm waiting for the Lord to give me the right occasion to preach it. It's entitled, When God Repents and Prophets Cry. When God Repents and Prophets Cry is based on 1 Samuel 15, verse 11. And it repented me, says the Lord, that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel so much so that he cried. He shed tears. He was heartbroken unto the Lord all night. So again, here's a man who is, one, rejected of God. I would encourage you to read from verse 10 of 1 Samuel 15 all the way down to verse number 29. Let's pick up the reading at verse 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return to thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord have rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away, and Saul laid upon him the skirt of his mantle, and he rent it. And Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and has given it to a neighbor of thine that is far better than you. And also, take this to account, Saul, the strength of Israel, who is Jehovah, will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. So there you have it. Saul is done for. In chapter 16, verse 1, Samuel thinks that by praying to God, by interceding, perhaps he can change God's mind. Samuel is praying. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Why are you still crying over Saul? Why are you still crying over the king of Israel? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill thine horn with oil and go. I send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. Completely rejected. Now we know what happens to Saul. Saul loses in a battle. He dies in a war with the Philistines. Not just him, but his precious son, Jonathan, and all of Jonathan's brothers. They all die. They're all slaughtered in battle because God has rejected Saul. Saul has done things his way. He is unusable. So now here in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, look at 1 Chronicles 10, 13 and 14. This is the nail in the coffin. Because we know that in 1 Samuel chapter 30, in 1 Samuel 30, Samuel has already died. The Philistines are gathering to battle. Saul is fearful of what will happen the next day. He turns to a medium. He turns to a witch. He turns to a woman who can contact the dead. He turns to a necromancer so that she can bring Samuel back from the dead because Samuel was the trusted prophet. And he wants to hear what Samuel has to say about his war against the Philistines. And Samuel says, you're done for. You're doomed. But look at what is stated here in Chronicles. And this is how we know that Saul died because he was half-baked. In fact, we know that Saul had gone crazy. Saul was demon-possessed. Saul was tormented by demons. David was hired to play the harp to alleviate him of his demonic mania. And here we have, this is a very troubled man who at first had been anointed by the prophet Samuel, who had been chosen by God, handpicked by God, to whom God gave a new heart to whom God allowed the Spirit to come upon him, and he prophesied. What a great beginning for Saul. He was being developed, and somewhere along the way, the developmental process was halted. The flesh got in the way. He became worldly minded. He rejected everything God had to offer him. And then God rejected him. And look at his sad end here in 1 Chronicles 10, 13 and 14. And it says, so Saul died for his transgression. Now remember, he had committed many transgressions, but this is the nail in the coffin. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he, the Lord, slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So here's a man. Remember what I said about leadership. Remember what I said about Jacob. Because Jacob would not let God fully develop him, because he would not yield to God totally. There were instances in Jacob's life where his life was in peril because of his own shenanigans. Later on, he placed his wives and his children in peril because of his shenanigans. It's not just you, the leader, who hurts himself. You hurt those who are connected to you. In the case of Jacob the patriarch, those to him are the members of his church family. Saul not only hurt himself, but all his sons were wiped out in that battle against the Philistines in 1 Samuel 31. And not just Saul's sons, but many of the men of Israel died that day because they followed a half-baked leader into battle. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's not just you that you hurt. It's not just you that you cancel out. It's not just you that God gets rid of in the ministry. It's all the people you hurt because you failed to yield to God. How many pastors are out there who, because of their foolishness and their unwillingness to follow the Lord and obey the Lord completely, how many people have been hurt in church? So many. So you see, a leader like Saul, whom God chose, whom God wanted to work with, whom in the end God had to give up on because he just wouldn't yield. We have many, many, many men and women of God in ministry today that God has already said bye-bye. Why does God say bye-bye to them as far as leadership, as far as the pulpit, as far as pastoring? Why does God say you're dismissed? Because he has been asking them. He has been calling them to repentance. And they ignore the Lord. So now the Lord ignores them and dismisses them. And when they come back crying, asking for another chance, it's over. It's over. Thank God it's not over as in the case of Saul. And Saul died in battle because he went to the witch, which was a capital punishment. It was a crime that deserved capital punishment. That's why he died in battle, because he turned to the witch of Endor, the woman who had a familiar spirit, or the spirit of Ab, the spirit to contact the dead. We're going to leave it there. We're going to come back tomorrow and look at other half-baked leadership and the consequences of their actions upon the people of God. I hope that those of you who are in leadership, that you would ponder these Bible verses, read them, of course, reread them, go over them, look at every passage, take every passage to heart, and say, Lord, let there never be me. Spare me of that, Lord. Spare me of that. I yield to you right now, and I ask you, Lord, to have your way with my life before I ruin it. God bless you, saints.
Precious blood of the Lamb. for Jesus, your King, there's power and